Welcome to the Break Your Bullshit Box podcast, where excuses aren't tolerated and results are earned through authenticity, vulnerability, and a commitment to excellence. My name is Amber Furman, success architect, attorney, and NLP trainer. If you're ready to bitch slap the bully in your brain, overcome the bullshit that holds you back, and design the life and success you've always wanted, then it's time for you to break your bullshit box and step into designing life and success on your terms. Welcome back to another episode of the Break Your Bullshit Box podcast. Today I have Bill Mueller. He is the CEO and co-founder of Start a Network and resides in Roanoke, Texas. Bill is in his 45th year of marriage to his wife, Mary, and is the proud father of four awesome children. And he's been blessed with a dozen grandchildren. For the past several years, Bill has been heavily involved in professional business networking and worked with a programmer to design a program to help manage in-person networking and social media networking, and has been managing a local networking group since. Later, Bill teamed up with one of his fellow networking members, Brian Botch, that has extensive experience in IT and project management, and the two of them set out to revolutionize the networking experience. This concept has morphed from a platform designed specifically to manage professional networking groups to a complete group management platform that can manage groups of any size. You know, Bill and I had a great conversation about networking. Networking is something that I'm so incredibly passionate about. It's something that has grown my businesses, both my law firm and my coaching business. And it continues to allow me to connect with people, make an impact in the world, help other business owners, and meet people that I might want to collaborate with or grow with in the future. In order for me to be a good networker, I had to get over so much bullshit that I was holding on to. And speaking of bullshit, the Break Your Bullshit Box Academy is open for enrollment. I'm so excited for that. Listen, if this is something that you might be interested in, being able to take your business to the next level, being able to take your life to something that is more fulfilling, then I have created a free download for you to get started. You can head over to blueprint.successdevelopmentsolutions.com and download your success blueprint guide to be able to start to figure out what it is that you want to create and how to start to build the design to make that happen. I look forward to seeing you with the guide and hearing what your experience was from that, as well as having the opportunity to talk to you about the Break Your Bullshit Box Academy. I'm really looking forward to meeting you. And without further ado, let's jump into this interview with Bill. Bill, thank you so much for coming on the show with me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I've been looking forward to being a part of the show.
I am really excited. We were talking a little bit before we officially went in record mode about the power of networking. And it's something that when I started my business, I didn't truly understand. So I'm really excited to be able to dig into what your experiences have been with it. So on that note, I guess my first question for you is, how did you stumble into the world of networking? What was the first realization that you had that made you realize it was important?
Well, I guess I've always kind of understood the importance, and yet I've somewhat shied away from it. I did real estate for a while with my son-in-law, and he's extremely successful in real estate, and he pretty much built his brokerage on networking. I've come to the feeling that if I was doing a brokerage, I would see to it that not only did every one of my employees belong to a network, but they all created their own because it gives you that much more appearance of authority and so forth.
Yeah, that idea of creating your own network, that's something that I think people have this illusion that somebody that's not like them created these networking groups. And that's not the case at all. These networking groups like our BNIs that are out there and the Star Networks and the LITIPs and whatever networking or networking groups might exist in your area, they were started by regular people that just valued connection. And I think that's important for people to understand.
Exactly. you know, anybody that is in a position, and this is going to cover most positions, that really need to get out there and network with people and don't want to necessarily pay for leads, and I fall into that category, I would much rather start my own network and have warm referrals from the people that join the network. And by creating the network, you have a lot of advantages. Probably the biggest is you get to pick the founders and the nucleus of the group, and you can do that around your skill set and what you do. So you know, a realtor would bring in an appraiser, a mortgage lender, maybe a financial advisor, things like that, which just kind of naturally lead to referrals for them.
Yeah. I've had great success when it comes to networking in organizations like that, but it wasn't always that way for me. It was a learning curve for me to be able to network well. And before we get into some of the tips that we might have for people, what is your background before networking? So before you started this networking group and you found yourself immersed in that world, what was your professional background before that?
You know, I've been involved in a lot of things and actually been a kind of a founding member of a lot of things. I am an 8th degree black belt in martial arts. I've been in
it for
like 60 years. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go see my teacher in Okinawa in April. He'll be 98 in June. I've been with him for about 50 years. So I was kind of one of the founders in America that, and then I got involved in job boards and then career fairs, and all of them required sales, and sales is just a huge benefit to have networking if you're involved in sales, to learn how to speak to people, to learn how to meet people, to feel at ease on the phone with them. So
yeah, I think it's important that you just said that, because when I work with people from a sales and communication standpoint, one of the things that we always have to overcome is this used car salesman, sleazy sales vibe that so many people come into, because we're not taught these communication skills at a young age as we could be. And so then when we get into a professional setting, sometimes the only relationship that we have with sales are the ways that somebody made us feel that we didn't appreciate, and we don't want to recreate that with somebody else. And I think that this idea of networking is the true combat to that, really building relationships so that when you do have those conversations, you're actually having a conversation with them instead of just making a cold call to somebody that you might have met one time instead of built a relationship with. What's your opinion on that?
I agree 100%. The old saying, people do business with people they know, like, and trust, is spot on. And when you strike up a conversation with someone, we try and get to know the people's family. We try and get to know their spouses. In fact, when I have a social event, not only do I make it open to the spouses, I encourage the spouses to attend, because oftentimes the spouses will hit it off with other members in the group. They may be a bigger advocate for the product you're selling than the actual person in your group. They always say, go into it looking to give more than you get. That happens usually by being a good listener and just caring. If you listen to what they're saying to you, you find out what's important to them. And then when they know that you care, you gain the right to be able to sell to them. And up until that time, they don't really know you. And quite honestly, everybody knows a realtor. So, you know, why should they do business with you? They've got to trust you. And that only comes from time, spending time with you.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note that, like, each person is different. And this is why I get so frustrated with, in this social media age, you can't go 5 minutes without scrolling through social media and somebody telling you how they're going to help you make $1 million in 4.5 minutes on Facebook. Right. So, and they're going to give you all the scripts and all the information that you need. And the problem with that is it assumes that everybody in the world communicates the exact same way. And it's just not the case. They don't actually teach how to adjust and pivot and actually build a relationship. They teach how to follow a script. And I have never been in a situation where following a script without being able to adjust it as necessary worked.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, when I got involved in networking, I got in faith-based networking. So I started out in a Christian, it was called Christian Nurturing. And from there, I was told about this young man that was pretty dynamic that had a networking class of about 80 to 100 people every Saturday, well, on Saturday mornings, but he had them quarterly. And got to be such good friends with him. I actually did a mission trip with him and got to really know him. He's one of my very closest friends. And then when I went to his group, I sat by a bunch of people that encouraged me to go to a group called Wingman. And I've never heard of Wingman before, but it was a Christian fellowship group that Chad Hennings, who was a former defensive tackle for the Dallas Cowboys, started. And through there, I've met so many people. As a matter of fact, the co-founder of the business that I'm doing right now, Started Network, I met through Wingman. So it's amazing how one group has led to another and one connection has led to another, and it's just blossomed.
Yeah, I think that's important to note. I don't always follow this as religiously as I should. However, when I have followed it, I've seen the value of it. When I go to, I have this mind map of networking because I go to a ton of conferences. And I started this idea of I'm going to create this mind map for networking. And when I go to this conference, I can pay attention to the people that I meet and, you know, take notes for things that I remember about them and all of that good stuff. And it was great in theory and practice until I kept going to conferences and then meeting the same people at conferences and then meeting people that they knew at conferences. And I realized that it doesn't necessarily matter specifically where you meet somebody or in what circle, because you're only 1 or 2 degrees of separation from somebody else that you're going to meet somewhere else. Like, this world is so small, and I didn't realize how small it was until I started networking at a high level.
Yeah. You know, I was in Okinawa and saw Arnold Palmer in that little Okinawa airport, and that made me realize just how small this world is. I mean, it's, we are just a couple of degrees separation from just about anybody in the world, and there's just so many opportunities. You know, they use the saying in sales, always be closing, ABC. You know, I use always be networking. You're always really are networking, whether you're at your kid's softball game, whether you're, you don't have to do it overtly and be, you know, always talking about your product. You network by getting people to converse with you and show that you care about them. And that usually happens more by listening than talking.
Yeah, I remember the first time that I really knew that. Because there's a difference between knowing it and like knowing it, right? So I obviously knew that you learn more by listening and that it's important that people feel open enough to trust you and have a conversation with you. And I remember I was at a networking one-to-one with somebody, and I remember sitting there thinking, is this person ever going to ask me any questions about me or my business? And I was getting frustrated. We'd been there for about 45 minutes. And I sat back and I thought, was this like, are they interested at all in my business? Or was this a waste of my time? And as I got in my car, something hit me. And I was like, if I was coaching one of my clients, what would I say to them? And what popped in my head was, if somebody trusts you enough to talk about their business for 45 minutes, you are learning so much more about them than you are if they ask you about your business. So take that as a gift and learn about them, because I know that they left that meeting saying, oh my gosh, Amber cared so much about my business. I can't wait to meet with her again. And each time that they were talking, they were giving me more and more information that allowed me to connect with them on a deeper level. And that is a gift we don't always get.
Exactly. And what you said made me think of something from almost 40 years ago, one of the times I was in Okinawa with my instructor, and people would come to him from different places around the world and want to know something or learn something from him. And he would say, you know, what do you mean by learned? Or someone would say they learned from his teacher. And 5 minutes is learned, you know, 5 years is learned, 40 years is learned. So when somebody says they learned or they know somebody, there's always a lot more you can learn. So I can say, oh, I met somebody or I know him, but do you really know him? You know his name, you've seen him, but do you really know what's important to him? Do you really know how to help him grow his business? Those are the kind of questions you got to be asking yourself when you're meeting someone, because until you get to that point of knowing somebody, it's really hard for them to know that you really care about them. And for you, quite honestly, to be able to provide them the right kind of leads. And, you know, when you see somebody, you know, right away, oh, he needs to talk to my friend Ted. Yeah.
Yeah. So something just popped in my head that's really interesting on this idea of really getting to know someone, and it's two-pronged. So I'm just going to share my thoughts with you, and then I would love to hear your networking mastery behind it, because I'm sure that there's a reason for it. The first thing that came to my head was it's really hard for us to truly get to know somebody when we're overstating our relationship with them in the first place. How many people do we know that say, oh my gosh, I'm really good friends with this person, you should meet them? Well, are you really good friends with them? Because a really good friend of mine would know certain things about me. Are they an acquaintance that you're calling a really good friend? And if that's the case, then how do you expect to actually get to know them if you're convincing yourself that you already do? What is your thought on the purpose for people needing to overstate their relationship with other people, and how we can avoid doing that to truly get to know somebody as they are, not as we imagine them to be?
I think sales has kind of pushed us into that corner for so many years by name dropping. And that's essentially what you're doing until you really get to know someone. If you're saying, oh, I know so-and-so real well, and you're really just kind of in a shy way bragging that you have, you know, relationship with somebody. So I think that's really the key thing, is getting to know that person in a way that is special, that they know that you really care, because otherwise people pick up on it pretty quickly and realize that, you know, you're just name dropping, and you're really not, you know, you really don't necessarily have a good relationship with that person. Quite honestly, you might not be referring that person to them because of that. You know, if you really knew that person, you know this is not the proper client, because you can do an injustice to people by referring them people that are not qualified or really in their wheelhouse.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. The second part to that is this idea that, I struggled with this for so long. In order for us to truly get to know somebody, we have to be willing to ask them questions that may make us look stupid, that may make us seem like we don't know as much as we want the world to think that we know. And more importantly, may open us up for them truly getting to know us as well. And I feel like sometimes people that are out there networking, they want people to know them professionally. They don't want them to know them personally. And we no longer live in a world where those two things can be separate. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, if you're really wanting to get to know somebody, you have to know more than just what they do for a living. And you know, so often that's the case. It really never really gets any deeper than that. And people are afraid to ask questions, like you say, because they don't want to look dumb. But, you know, those very questions that may make you look, you know, like you're a little naive in one area, probably make the other person feel very special about themselves, that they can provide information that you truly want and you're excited to learn from them. So you know, it's not all about what we're getting to. There's sometimes that it's very special for somebody to be able to help you. And even if they're telling you something that you already know, it's not going to hurt you to hear it again if it makes them feel good and it helps your relationship grow.
Wait a minute. You said something there that I want to pick up on. Did you just say that it's not all about us?
That's it's hard for a salesman to get, but no, it's really not all about us. Ultimately, we usually get into networking thinking it's about us because we're joining it for a reason, and there is an us part of it. I mean, we wouldn't join a networking group if we didn't think there was a chance we were going to get leads for it or from it. But at the same time, if you're not giving back, you're probably not going to grow in that group. And people are less likely to share leads with you in the long run anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I remember this was maybe 2.5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. I was doing a podcast interview with somebody and she said something that completely changed the way that I look at sales and networking. She says, I wish people would understand that in every situation that you're in, there is an objective and there's an intention. And your objective might be to increase your sales, make more money, and grow your business. But your intention always has to be to show up in a place of service. And that helped me so much because I would constantly feel like I was in this push and pull of wanting to show up for somebody else and knowing that I was also showing up for the purposes of making a sale and feeling like I was being less than integritous about my intentions when it came to our relationship or our conversation. And once I was able to say, okay, my objective here in the overreaching side of things is to grow my business, to make connections that are eventually going to lead for sales. My intention in this particular moment is to show up at a place of service. And that shifted everything for me. So I'm curious for you, what is something that in the early days of your networking that you heard that helped you reconcile the need to make money with the need to show up from a place of service?
Well, you know, that's really good what you just said, because service is something that a lot of us are really not accustomed to, especially in America. It's all about me at this time. But for me, it was, I was in a network with Zig Ziglar at one time. He was the person that ran it. And it was really special to me because I got to meet him and be around him several times. And, you know, he had so many different sayings, you know, that he would use, and so many of them would register to me and in a really a deep way. And one of the things he said is sales is a process you do for somebody. It's not a process you do to somebody. And boy, that really hit home with me. And he believed that. So if you really believe in your product, you believe you're helping somebody. And everybody should be in a business where they feel like, hey, what I have is going to help you. Or they need to change their mindset about the product they have, or they need to find another product to sell. So, yeah, that was my aha moment, like your aha moment was right out of Zig's mouth, and just loved being around the man. And it wasn't like I was good friends with him or anything. I was just one of many people that was in this network. But, you know, there was nobody that I'd rather listen to.
At that time, was he, for lack of a better description, the Zig Ziglar, or was he still coming up and coming?
No, he was the Zig Ziglar. And this was actually probably closer to the end of his life. And we had a big gathering one time. And then he bused everybody over to Prestonwood Baptist Church, where he had a Sunday school class. And that was bigger than some sanctuaries in some churches. So, he was very much well known. Most of his tapes had already been written. And it was actually, he started a networking group and I got involved in it thinking if anybody's ever going to do well in a network marketing situation, it's Zig Ziglar. Well, it didn't go, as planned, but it was still, I don't think there was a person that joined that group that wish they hadn't, because there was just so many benefits and take homes from it. And just, you know, to be around the wisdom and knowledge that he shared was awesome.
I think that that's an important concept for people to take from this episode. And it's one of the things that, if there's nothing else that they take from this, I hope it's this. And that is the idea that we can go into something with a particular purpose. And if we're closed off to the potential other opportunities that might exist in that environment, then we lose out on so much. Could you imagine what that experience would have been like if you would have gone in and said, I'm here for the purposes of making sales, and then you didn't make sales, and then you missed out on the opportunity to learn from a master like Zig Ziglar? That's such an incredible lesson to be able to learn.
Yeah, yeah. And so many people, I'm big on goal setting, but so many people are look only at the goal and they miss the journey, you know, getting to there. And I know people that set goals, they hit that goal, they may celebrate it that night, and then it's on to the next goal. So they never really get to enjoy the fruits of their labor. And that's something that I really want to try and avoid. I've seen it, you know, up close. And I think, what's the point in laboring all your life if you can't enjoy the fruits of your labor? I don't think God intended that.
No, I don't think either. And that's something that really resonates for me, because that's really why I ended up starting this podcast and why I ended up in the coaching and speaking and training industry, is because I was that person. You know, I think that there's a reason that we crave a specific amount of success, and it's normally tied to some sort of trauma or something that we're trying to outrun. And people ask me all the time, why did you go to law school? And they are shocked when I tell them it was a trauma response. And they're like, what do you mean it was a trauma response? And I said, I thought that there was a particular level of success that was going to bring peace in my life to me, and it didn't. And when I reached that level of success and it didn't bring peace, I had to reevaluate my entire journey and figure out where I went wrong. And it turns out that I didn't go wrong anywhere. My purpose for making those decisions was misguided. And very much like you just said, onto the next thing that might make me feel good, onto the next thing that might make me feel good. At some point in time, we've got to be okay with where we're at now and then grow from there.
Yeah, and that is human nature. I think human nature says there's more around the corner. You know, when I only get this, then I'm going to be happy. And then you get that and you say, well, now the bar's changed. Now I need this to be happy. And it's just human flaw, I think. I think we all struggle with that. But I think if we're aware of it, we can maybe, you know, head it off at the pass and keep it from ruling our lives, because it very much can.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. So let's switch gears just a little bit and let's dig into a little bit of the nitty gritty of networking. So I want to approach this first of all from the idea of somebody who is either just starting a business or they're growing their business and they want to expand their influence. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see people make when they start networking for the first time?
Well, I think we've kind of talked about a little bit, but going into it thinking that they're going to receive, but they don't really realize that you got to give to receive. You know, if you're in a networking group and you're not offering up leads or sharing with people, then you really can't expect it in return. So they have to have realistic expectations going in. I think the other thing is they have to realize that relationships aren't things that happen overnight. You know, you're not going to get rich, you know, right away off the leads you go, you know, meet at a networking group. But I think they're the longest lasting leads, because you make friends. And I use the example of real estate industry because I've seen it where you help one family and before you know it, you know, if they're young, they're going to move every 8 years. You may be helping them buy and sell three times, you know, over the next 25 years. Now they're having kids. Guess who their kids are going to use, you know? Because it's just, you built that rapport and so forth. You can't expect it to happen immediately. And that's why I'm so big on it rather than just buying leads. You know, you can still form relationships with these people you buy leads from when you're able to do it. But how much harder it is to talk somebody into using me versus on Susie if they don't really know me and know that I care about, you know, their livelihood and who they are.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you say that because I've been recently going through some adjustments to my thought process because I've been networking more and it's so easy to get overwhelmed and then you shut down from, or at least I do, from the amount of potential leads that you have or connections that you have. And I remember recently feeling like if all these people called me back, if all these people that I had met called me back, there's no way that I would have time for them on my calendar. So like, where do I start? And I had to really step back and calm myself down and say, you start at the beginning. And then when your calendar's full, you deal with that problem at that point in time. You don't deal with problems that haven't happened yet. The reason that I bring this up though, is because when we buy leads, there's two ways that you can grow your business. You can grow your business by volume, which is exhausting, buying leads and making cold calls. And this is where like your 10% comes in. If you want to make a sale, you've got to book 10 sales calls. If you want to book 10 sales calls, you got to have 100 leads. Or you can spend the time that you would spend dialing, getting hung up on, and you can go out and network and build relationships with people that are going to go out and do that job for you and bring you warm leads. It all takes time, investment of time, and investment of a little bit of compassion and caring and resources. I think networking in the long run has such a higher return on investment because once that list of leads that you bought runs out, who the hell are you going to call? As opposed to actually building relationships.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And what a better investment investing into people's lives than just paying for leads. You know, ultimately, the real benefit that you get from networking is not just the extra money that you're going to make. It's the lifelong friendships that you're going to make and the people that you're going to touch along the way and the people that are going to touch you along the way and, you know, make a deposit in your life as well. I can't tell you how much the gentleman that I ended up doing a mission trip has impacted my life. You know, we went to Thailand, Cambodia, and Burma together. But I suffered a stroke at age 60. I think, what was it? I guess 64 or whatever. I'm 69 right now. You know, feel great, trained martial arts all the time, but it was kind of a fluke thing. I woke up one morning and wasn't seeing very good out of one of my eyes. Couldn't find the cursor on my computer.
Oh, no.
And he was there for me all the time, even come over and play ping pong to help me with my vision. He's just the kind of guy that has totally impacted my life. And if I didn't get involved in networking of some kind, then I would have never met that relationship, nor my business partner at this time, who has become a great friend and a super ally. I've always done business as a solopreneur before. I've had a chain of resume services. I had American Career Fairs where I did job fairs all across the country. Never went into business with someone else before, but because of the relationship we had, I couldn't have picked a better person. I knew his character beforehand. And so many times I hear of partnerships that don't work out and everything. I think it's a lot of times they don't really know the character of the person they're going into business with prior to doing it. There is you go back to that word, I know him. Well, yeah, I know him, but do you really know him when crunch time comes and pressure is on and payroll has to be met? That's a different kind of knowing someone.
It's so true. I want to spend a couple minutes before we get to the next part of the interview on the idea of creating your own group, because I know for so many people it feels so daunting. I can I've never created my own networking group, but that's not entirely true. I've never created a group that is intended to be ongoing. I've created networking events. When I first started in the space, and you're trying to figure out how to add value, you're trying to figure out how to get known, there's really no better platform to stand on than saying, let me create this room for you to meet people that would be of benefit to you and your business. But it's not the first place that people go to think when they're starting off in creating a networking space. So if somebody's out there saying, I want to increase my influence, I know a lot of people, how do I start to bring them together? What's the advice that you have for them in how to start being the creator of networking groups instead of just the attendee?
You know, that's a great question. And I think that's probably the most important question that we'll talk about today. That I have an ebook based just on that, as far as creating your own network. And there's so many benefits to being the one who created the network. One is the fact that you get to choose the founders and the people that are your core group. Again, you get to choose basically their core values, the type of people that you want in there. You get to choose, do I want this group to be kind of lighthearted and fun, or do I want this to be strict and only about business? I get to choose all that. Do I want to monetize this group? You know, do I want this a free group, or do I want to monetize it? And it's really why we created Start a Network, is because I was running a networking group for years, and I was monetizing it already, but wanted something that would help me manage it. We have it where we have a public-facing website. We have it where we have a mobile app where someone can just touch and share the members' contacts. So it's one thing to endorse somebody in the room. It's going to even have more meaning of the other networkers. But if you sit right there after you endorse them and share that same experience on Facebook, where it has a chance of touching hundreds of people, now you've done them even more of a service. So if I have a group of 20 people and somebody, you know, gives a house deal to a realtor and they share that, hey, so-and-so got this deal, you know, from, you know, plumber that he works for, make sure that you give him some love and use his business, that's going to make a bigger impact than just announcing it in the group. Because quite honestly, most of the time, they know it in that group anyhow. So our goal was to merge in-person networking and social media networking, and then also give them this app that allows them to communicate and has a social feed in it. So the networking doesn't stop when the meeting ends. And it shouldn't anyhow. There should be one-on-ones and other things, but this keeps a closer knit group. And then if you are the one who created the group, you just kind of naturally get seen as the expert in the group. You get to be seen as the person that, hey, if I want to know something about the group, I need to talk to them. And you're also the first person they usually talk to when they are considering joining your group. So we use social media and other things to let people know. But it's like anything, if you go through your Rolodex or your contact list and you say, who are people that I want in the group? Hey, this is a great person. But you know what? I love his personality, but I'm not sure that I want to send business to him because I'm not sure he really does that good a job. So, you know, you can have somebody, you got to feel really good. If you're going to send your close friends to somebody for work, you want to make sure that they're going to be well taken care of. So there's a lot of things that you need to think about going in. Do I want a social network? Do I want an in-person network? Do I want one on Zoom? Do I want a hybrid between a Zoom and a in-person, or we do in-person one week, Zoom the next week? I mean, there is literally 1,000, you know, ways to make a networking group, as many ideas you can come up with. It can be geared after women. It can be geared after, there's some that are for industry. There's some that are for industry specific. But again, by being the person that chooses the culture of the group. And, you know, you get to choose the times it happens, the location. So some people even want to make their living off of it. So what they can do is they can say, what areas do I want to make more money in? The realtor, for example, can only get a raise basically three ways. He can sell more homes, he can sell more expensive homes, and I'm drawing a blank for the third way. But if I want to make more money and I'm in a neighborhood that's not as wealthy, I need to move over and have my networking group in a wealthier area. So that's one way that I can increase my wages. So there's just a lot of advantages that I can see to running that networking group versus somebody else running it. I get to do it on my schedule around my kids. I get to do it, you know, when I talk culture, that's really important to me because I like to have fun. We have a, you know, kind of a fun time at first where we show a crazy video or something like that, just to break the ice rather than just, you know, I don't want it to be all about referrals and counting referrals because that takes you away from the relationships. Some networking groups are going to want to have a some type of outreach involved in it. And so ours has chosen, we do something called Sip and Support, where every Thursday we actually meet at a wine shop. And every Thursday evening, we help support her. And we have Sip and Support where we take a charity, and anybody that comes in and leaves off the donation for that charity, we buy them a glass of wine. Well,
oh, how fun.
Yeah. And so we get to meet and the spouses come, and it really, there's a bond that happens there that just isn't going to happen in the regular meeting itself always. So,
yeah. What about, you know, for somebody that says, you know, that's so much time and commitment that I'm not sure I'm ready to give yet, the one-off type of networking events that maybe aren't category exclusive, that maybe do once a month, how can we make those valuable for us? And do you see a place for those where people come, but they're not necessarily a member of a weekly meeting group? Or do you find that the weekly meeting groups work best? What's your opinion on those?
Well, I think the weekly meeting groups are going to definitely develop, cater to having much stronger relationships just because of the amount of time you spend with them. But there's a place for the other. There definitely is a social networking group. Usually it's at a local pub or something like that. You get together and have a beer with them or a Coke or whatever that you drink. But I think that if you're going there looking for leads and relationships, it's got to happen outside of that place. You can strike up general conversations with them there, but you're going to have a one-on-one with them. And really, you know, that's the way you're going to really get to know them. But use that as an opportunity to get their card, say, hey, do you mind if I call you back? I've enjoyed talking with you. And we could sit down and have a cup of coffee together and really get to know each other and find out how we could help each other. So there's definitely a place for that. And some people are more comfortable in that environment. So if that's where they need to start, that's fine. I find out that many people are not comfortable with that environment either because they walk into a room with a bunch of people and
that they don't
they
know.
And they keep sectioned off with groups that they already know. It's hard to break in and start up a conversation. So they just need to bring a friend to tag along. So they have somebody there that they know and can feel comfortable with.
Yeah. Some of the best casual social networking events that I've ever been to had an icebreaker component to it, which was fantastic. I remember going to one where when we wrote down our name tag, we also wrote down, so we wrote down our first name, and then we wrote down like one of our most important values or our favorite food or our favorite drink or something like that. And people would come by, see your name, and then they would see whatever it was underneath. And it gave them something that was less serious to talk about, which I thought was really cool. So I always appreciate, because to your point, when you go to these social networking events, sometimes people travel in groups. They're going there with people that they already know. And the point isn't necessarily to get to know people that you already know and have relationships with. It's to meet other people and decide if you want to build a relationship with them as well. So it's important to kind of push yourself out of your comfort zone if you're going to go to those environments to meet as many people as you possibly can and then make decisions on where they fit in your network from there.
Exactly. And I think the host can help out a lot with that by doing some type of icebreaker and even encouraging people that, hey, you may not have an opportunity to meet everybody that's in here again. So break out of your comfort zone and go out to a total stranger and say hi and find out what they do. So I think the host can help out with that a lot.
Agreed.
It's something that, you know, maybe they don't do, but I love the icebreaker too. And there's just so many ways to go about it. One of the things we do in our networking group every once in a while is have the person next to you, instead of you telling about yourself, have the person next to you tell about you. And then that kind of makes you, you know, perk up a little bit, get to know these people. So if you have to all of a sudden talk about somebody in the group, you can do a good job for them.
Yeah, I think that's really valuable. We just actually did that in my networking group recently, and I had seen it done before, but this was different. We have a big networking group that meets weekly. We have almost 40 members, and it's fantastic. What I didn't expect when they announced that the person next to you was going to be delivering your, you know, elevator pitch, it was they took on the personality of the person. It wasn't just the words, it was the personality. And there were some people that you could see on their face, they're like, is that really how I show up? And that's such an incredible gift to be like, is that what I actually look like? And then more than that, luckily we didn't have anybody that couldn't deliver somebody else's business model. But if you run into that situation where somebody describes your business incorrectly, it may be that they don't listen. More likely it's that you're not talking about your business the way you think you're talking about your business. And that's incredibly valuable information to have too. So I love that for so many reasons.
Well, like you mentioned, it can be a lot of fun seeing someone impersonating you. And that's exactly where they take it to. They try and impersonate the gestures and everything.
Yeah.
It makes it a lot of fun. So that's definitely one that I like.
Well, I can tell how passionate you are about networking. And there's no doubt that it has been a completely necessary part of my business. It's also been something that I have resisted and messed up a whole ton and then gotten right a few times and then continue to get better at over and over. And I bring that up because this is the Break Your Bullshit Box podcast, where we talk about overcoming your excuses. So I'm curious for you, what has that voice in your head said to you in the past in the context of networking and growing your business that you've had to say, I hear you and you're full of crap, I'm going to go do this anyways? What's one of those excuses you've had to overcome?
Well, because mine's in the morning, is it really worth getting up at this time to go do that? You know, I'd sure like to sleep in a couple more hours. And so many of them take place early morning, and then there's, you know, a lot of them that happen around lunch. But that's probably the biggest one for me. I love my sleep, but, you know, there's others is, you know, am I really making an impact on someone's life? Am I really going to get sales out of there? Because as a realtor, you may only get one or two deals a year out of a group, but you're getting a much higher dollar value. And, you know, the average realtor, people don't realize, only do like 4 to 6 homes a year. So if they get one or two out of a networking group where they've invested very, very little, I mean, that's a tremendous return on their investment. And so I, as a realtor, I've gone in and done other, I've been in networking groups and other professions too, but as a realtor, I never had a year that I got less than 2 homes. Now, that translates into better return on investment than I could have probably ever gotten anywhere else.
So. Yeah, there is no better return on investment. That's for sure. You know, if we think about, you know, I don't know what Start a Network runs, but if we think between $600 to $900 a year for a membership and then the cost of your lunches, and, you know, you're looking at, let's just call it $1,500 a year, you can't advertise for that anywhere else. And to be able to do that in a place where people are engaged and listening and want to make an impact in your business. And, you know, it's interesting because as a business owner, the more people that I know that can do good things, the more valuable I am to my clients, because I've noticed that when I tell somebody I can't do something, so I come from the legal industry. When I tell people that I can't handle a case and I say, but this person can, the next time that they need legal help, they're not calling the person that I referred them to. They're calling me because they know that I'm going to either be able to help them or know somebody who can. I've gotten more business from people I couldn't help than people that I could. And I think that that's important for us to consider as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I manage a networking group, but Start a Network was developed from our networking group. How can we help networking leaders create their own networking groups, administer it, and manage it, give them communication tools and everything? So it's really a platform and an app to help people go out there and start their own networking groups. And it was birthed out of, you know, a networking group. You know, the co-founder was in my networking group, and myself, knowing the needs that a person has as a network owner, what is going to make my job easier? How am I going to be able to market it? How am I going to help the communication when we're not actually in session? And so it was birthed out of a networking group, and it's really a communication tool that will up the game of any networking group. So that's the way I look at it, is helping people, you know, kind of duplicate what I did and create their own networking group.
I love that so much. I'm really looking forward to checking out your ebook. I can tell it's going to be incredibly valuable. We will have the link to that ebook in the show notes for this episode. If anybody's listening to this and says, man, I really liked what Bill had to say, I want to continue to follow up with him. I want to learn more about him and maybe connect with him. What's the best way for them to do that?
You know, the easiest way is simply email me at bill@startanetwork.com. And then they can always go to startanetwork.com. Just scroll down to the bottom and there's a place to download that ebook for free. And then if they decide that, hey, I want to do that, then we've got the tools to have to help them be successful. And that's really what it is. It's very reasonable. And whether they want to monetize it, they want to do a free group, a social group, we've designed it that they can, you know, really do anything they want with that group. They can, you know, change the colors and the format of their public facing website. There's group texting, individual texting, there's, you know, an action feed that's like a social feed. And you can be involved in three or four networks and use the same app. And I open this network and there's a separate social feed for each one. And so that's really just an opportunity to, it helps both the people that are attending as a networking client, and it also really helps the person running the group, helps them facilitate it, helps them management, makes it very easy so it's not this daunting task that quite honestly I had when I started out. Our whole goal was to just make that easier for people.
I love that so much. Bill, I've really enjoyed the conversation today. I love your passion about networking. I love hearing your stories about how you've made it work for you and your passion for helping other people network well. Thank you so much for spending some time on the show with me today.
Well, I really enjoyed it, and I can tell that you're somewhat passionate about networking as well, and I appreciate that. Great job, and I thank you for the opportunity to be on the show.
Of course.